97.3, time for business half hour. And as always, I have Wadir from Nirometrics with me in the studio. And we have a special guest as well. You know, it was two of us that had it done last week, but we have a special guest this morning. She'll get to introduce herself later on in the show. Meanwhile, Wadir, how are you and how was your weekend?
Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Bukola. My weekend was fine. It was restful. I was here on Saturday, and it's nice to be on air again. Good morning, Lagos. This is Business Half Hour in partnership with Nirometrics on Classic 97.3 FM.
All right. We get to meet our guests now. Hello. How are you?
Hi. Good morning.
So, what's your name?
My name is Adeola Jonwaji. I'm the Chief Operating Officer at Shalom Microfinance Bank, Lekki, Lagos.
All right. So, what was Adeola doing before then?
Okay, prior to starting Shalom Microfinance Bank, I used to work with Access Bank, PLC, as a relationship manager with the commercial banking division.
So, you've always been in banking?
Oh, yes.
So, why did you decide to...
Why? Microfinance.
Okay. Why microfinance?
Why microfinance? Well, so whilst working with the commercial banking unit of Access Bank, I had on several occasions to interact with people across various sectors. So I was in the hospitality sector for a while, then construction, contractors, and I got, I became passionate about relating with customers directly. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to manage those accounts personally, not as, you know, I'm managing a corporate, large corporate. I wanted to interact individually, yes, the way I had to do with the contractors and subcontractors. And after a 6-year stint at Access Bank, I and a couple of friends who were also in the banking sector with other banks came together and we decided to form the Shalom Microfinance Bank.
So we can say technically that your inspiration was because you wanted to help people.
Oh, yes. I'm passionate about
building relationships over the years banking.
Yes. I'm passionate about customers. I'm passionate about businesses. I'm passionate about success.
Ah, that's good. That's interesting. Great. It's important.
Yeah.
So stepping out, you know, usually... how many of you started this out?
There are three of us from the banking sector. We have somebody who used to work in the airline sector. We have a legal practitioner in our midst as one of the directors of the bank. So we're from different walks of life.
How old is the bank now?
3 years.
3 years old.
Yeah. Oh,
that's nice.
Interesting.
So when you talk about your organization, Shalom Microfinance, what problems are you looking at solving generally in Nigeria from the financial sector perspective?
You know what, Wadir, before we go to problems, we need to build this. Starting out, you know, because it's not always easy when you have to, because starting out is the problem for a lot of people. Maybe you have a job, you have a 9-to-5 job, you're doing this and you want to go and start your own thing. There's always a fear of uncertainty. So whose idea was it? Was it your own idea and you decided to bring these people along? And what was starting out like?
Okay, so... there was that yearn to do more. And then when we found ourselves, you know, in the forum and we discussed it and there was a buy-in, you know, by all parties involved and the dream grew. So we started making inquiries, how to get a license, what does it take to run a microfinance bank? What does it take to start a microfinance bank? We looked at a couple because I had some in my books then in Access Bank. So I looked at how they ran their businesses. I engaged some of those, my customers, and we became more excited about doing it. And before we knew it, by October, yes.
Very fearful.
You're not scared of going into it?
Oh, I was. I was. It's a huge shock, actually, because even when we started, it was like they were taking me from one end of the river to the other. It's different. It's a different ballgame. It's a shift from what I understand as banking. It's you forgetting the fact that you have to take the biggest fixed asset and you have to have your floating assets in place and you have to go and stamp and unstamp the property documents. Now you have to be talking to guarantors. You know, it's a total, I'm not talking the billions, I'm talking 50,000, 1 million. I'm like, really? Is this banking? And I'm not talking writing documents, financial, you know, facility approval memos. Now we're looking at single sheets. And it's totally different. I'm not looking at structured businesses.
Where is this money going to come from?
Oh, yes. Shift from what I understand as banking. And it's interesting. You know, learning new things and, you know, tasking yourself, you know, pushing yourself to do something different. Most of the time, you just want to throw in the towel and say, oh God, what are we doing here? But then you realize that when you make a difference in somebody's business or the daily, the fact that 50,000 can change a life, a business, can change a shop, can change the outlook. And the fact that you see customers that go from 50 to 100 to 200 and the business is getting bigger,
so
and the person is opening branches, you feel good.
So your capital, how did you raise that?
So we got investors. So, you know, over time, the commercial bank was a good background for me because I got to meet people, you know, who were ready to invest in a dream. People that had banked in the past who believed in myself. Some of our other directors too had people who believed in them. So it was just engaging these people to get them to invest in the business. So we started basically with investors' funds.
That's interesting.
That's fantastic.
Funds to start the business, yes.
There was a confidence you had built for them to decide.
Oh, yes. You know, when you do things right and you work passionately, you treat people's transactions right, you treat them right, they believe in you and they're ready to put funds.
I guess she's answered some of the things that we're talking about, the challenges that they have to face in setting up the business and so on and so forth. One thing comes to me and it's been shouting to me for the last couple of months, or last 1 month, since the CBN decided that they were going to start the cashless policy across Nigeria. I see it as a huge challenge within the financial services sector, okay. And which I think the microfinance bank would be in the right place to help CBN achieve their goals. What would you say about that and your business as a whole?
Okay, so I'd say that for this cashless policy to work, all hands have to be on deck, not just the microfinance sector. Yes, the CBN, this is supposed to start in a couple of weeks.
10 days.
10 days, yeah. Eight days, okay. And then the CBN prior to this, you know, they've tried to ensure that all banks focus on the retail sector by telling banks to ensure that at least 65% of their deposit portfolio is given out at loans. Now, there's only one way that can be achieved. That's focusing on the retail sector of the economy. Banking, the unbanked, banking, those low-income earners, those SMEs and MSMEs. And there's only one way you can adequately bank these people, give them loans. It's by having the required infrastructure to get your monies back. Now, how do you get your monies back? It's by ensuring that the facilities for getting the funds back are available, the e-channels, the POS terminals, the ATM platforms and structures are in place in those communities. Now, everybody's trying, but we're still not doing enough to ensure that we're ready to make this process a success. For Shalom Microfinance Bank, what we do is we visit new communities. Financial inclusion is very important. We go, we do what we call the market dump. We sensitize, we tell them about banking, we open accounts, we issue cards to them, we encourage them to use the cards, we engage and re-engage. And when you deliver seamless service, well, I'd say word of mouth, testimonials and referrals will continue to win you more customers. It doesn't take us where we want to be, but I think we're getting there.
All right, we are being joined by Taiwo Oyewale in the studio. Good to have you, Taiwo. How are you?
Good morning, after 2 weeks of social distancing.
Okay.
You're very good to be here.
Now it's safe.
We're safe.
Thank you for joining us. I want to ask a question, so I think it might be more topical, relevant to what we're experiencing right now in terms of how do you help small businesses brace up for
social distancing?
Yeah, I mean, it's more than social distancing. I think it's commercial distancing. I think it's great because a lot of businesses have been affected, we don't know where this is going to end, you know, so how are they going to deal with it? How people who've taken loans, how are they going to be able to as in, I just don't know. And just in my head, it's been something that's been bugging me and saying, how can we, or what's the way forward, I mean, with an organization such as yours?
Okay, so, you know, what the major need people have for microfinance banks is loans, like you said. That's why most of them even bank with banks such as ours. And it's unfortunate that at this moment, businesses are suffering. Cash flows are low, sales are low, and people can only pay you from a profit position. So I believe that it's necessary that we continually, you know, remind our customers not to fret. You should just take it easy. We understand what's going on. So we're all waiting to see how this plays out. At a point where everything dies down, then we'll come together. Well, I say something. We're symbiotic and not parasitic. I always say it. And Shalom.
Really hope so.
Shalom, the relationship is important. So my position is, at a point where everything calms down, the storm is gone, we'll come and sit with our customers, we'll look at how we can do waivers, you know, adjustments on repayments. Because whether you like it or not, these things are running. They're counting. Interest is accruing. The customers, some of them think the way forward is to go and take more loans. No, you cannot pay a loan with a loan. Mm. So the best is everybody should, to the best of their capacity, pay as much as they can. Also, I encourage customers to, you know, I see a lot of businesses going, employing the use of delivery guys. That's also, you know, encourage social distancing. So a delivery guy just comes and gives the product to the end user.
Sales are you still going ongoing. Into a mall or a shopping center?
Yes. So businesses are still ongoing. They're not totally, you know, stopped. But the people in the market, we have a lot of customers who sell the basic needs. For people like that, we tell them to not fret. Don't worry, things are going to be okay. We're not pushing, we're not shoving anybody. At the end of the day, there'll be a level playing ground.
Well, we
do hope so. I will look forward to that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I understand it's also difficult for you because the money you're giving out is not yours as well to give. It's
in your depositors' money.
Your depositors' money or from wherever it is you source the funds from. So, I think it's a difficult time for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm aware that the CBN asked the deposit money banks to drop their interest rates.
Oh, yeah.
They reduced it by, I think, about 5% or something. Mm-hmm. And asked them to drop theirs as well. So, we'll see the ripple effects, but I don't know whether that will be enough. I don't know whether that will be enough to even get some businesses
back on their feet.
Because some rely on daily income, and once that income is not there.
Yeah, most of our customers are in that category. But there's also the positive side is, you know, like the deposit money banks, we have less of concentration risk, which means we have small pockets of transactions. So if you're looking at what our customers typically repay, it's not a whole lot. So you have people who pay 2,000, 3,000. Yes, it's a lot of money to them, but it's easier for us to weather the storm than the deposit money banks. So that's why I said for us, it's about waiting to see where this all ends and then we'll take it from there.
All right, you're still listening to Classic FM 97.3. We are talking about bridging the gap between SMEs and financial institutions. We have the COO of Shalom Microfinance Bank with us in the studio. We'll be right back after this. Well, I disagree. It says here, more money, more problems. Do you think so? If you have money, money as red matters. Now it's only knowing how to, you know, send the money out. What do you guys think?
Well, it's managing the money, even if you have it, and how you spend it, even in times of difficulties like now, and where to spend it, really.
Yeah. Welcome back to Business Alpha and Partnership in Aerometrics. We still have Adiola here with us from Shalom Microfinance Bank. I think let's kick off and ask, I mean, let's try and understand. So how many locations do you have? Do you have any plans for expansion? Because typically microfinance banks get some kind of, is a regional or state license from the CBN.
Okay, so Shalom Microfinance Bank is a unit microfinance bank, which means currently we have just one branch, and that's the head office at Lekki Phase 1. We do borderless banking, which means we leverage on the e-channels to do our transactions. That being said, we are looking to expand, yes. We were planning to go state, you know, just before the last change in capital requirement for the microfinance banks. And with the new structure, with what CBN is putting in place, even as a unit microfinance bank located in an urban location, we're now allowed to have like 3 branches within the same local government. So we're going to explore that, you know, before we go straight, since we're allowed to have branches now.
And just talking about that, opportunities to expand and grow your branches means that you probably require additional funding towards ensuring that these branches can be opened.
Oh, yes.
By internally generated or seeking new investors.
Oh, yes.
So if you were to seek new investors, what kind of approach would you put in place towards ensuring that, aside from being an urban bank, you can go into the size of a regional bank and so on?
Okay, so to get that done as a bank, I think would not only explore building up on depositors' funds, would also re-engage our investors and approach new investors for possible funding. I think that's the best way to do this. People who actually believe, you know, in the objective of our business, people who are passionate about what we do. I think that's how we'll be raising funds for expansion. But right now, we have what is required to remain and sustain our business as an urban unit microfinance bank.
What do you think the challenge will be in getting these people to invest in your business?
Okay, so it's the profit, actually, what they stand to gain, the risk of investing in a venture like a microfinance bank. And I think the CBN has tried to de-risk, you know, to remove the stereotype that is typically tied to owning or investing in a microfinance bank. Because usually what you hear is, oh, they are miracle banks. Oh, they'll wind up tomorrow. Oh, they'll wind up next tomorrow. Oh, they'll soon be gone. Oh, they'll just close shop and walk out on people with their phones. But I think that has changed, because initially to open a unit microfinance bank, what was required was 20 million. Mm. And that was when there were 1,000,001 microfinance banks across the nation. When the CBN saw what was going on and then banks were winding down, they requested the recapitalization. We then necessitated, you know, everybody to up their capital, just the requirement to about 100 million. And when they saw it wasn't working for the rural microfinance bank, that's why they now created 2 tiers for the unit microfinance bank. Now, to own a state, you have to have 1 billion. To run a national, you have to have 5 billion. I don't think anybody, any board member, any shareholder will put in that much money and not ensure that the directives of the CBN, you know, are adhered to. They won't want to be in meetings, you know, directors, annual general meetings. The amount of money required now to run the business makes everybody.
You have to monitor what is happening. Yeah.
Yes. Nobody wants to take a loss. So I think that would encourage, and it's a profitable business. It's a profitable venture.
You talked about
it's well managed.
You talked about 1,000,001 microfinance banks there. So there's steep competition.
Oh, yes. But a lot of them have wound down. So there is.
How are you surviving?
How do we survive? Mm. Well, we don't compete. That's what we don't do in Shalom. So we focus. Mm. We focus on a market. There's a lot of noise. If you allow the noise get in your way, you'd be everywhere camping and not getting any done. So we focus on our objective. At Shalom Microfinance Bank, our objective is to fund SMEs, MSMEs, give loans to salary earners, give loans to artisans, give loans to entrepreneurs. That's our focus. Now, a lot of banks focus on, let's say they do only salary loans, they do only LPO financing. We do all transactions. So we can decide to bank Mr. A, decide to bank Mr. B. There's no limitation to the kind of business we do. We also do transaction-based lending. So we look at every customer individually. We tailor our transaction in line with the customer's financial cash flow. So I don't look at what one bank is in and say, I want to do it that way. No, we focus.
So you have your specialty that people always come to you for. That is how you stand out.
Oh, yes. So a customer can repay me monthly, and I have another customer who is in the same business but runs our own a bit differently, will pay me weekly. And I also have customers, when I look at their cash flow, I know that they find it hard to hold on to funds. I tell you, pay me daily. Now they are all in the same business, but they're running their transactions differently.
What would you say is your biggest challenge right now? I know you talked about this a few of them earlier. What would you say is your biggest challenge right now?
Okay, so I'd say the biggest challenge we face right now is the fact that the banking sector is saturated, I'd say, in the sense that now because everybody is rushing to give out retail loans, you see instances where a customer comes to you for a loan, and we don't joke with our credit checks, and you run the credit check and you see that this customer is running 10 loans, 5 loans that their cash flow can actually not accommodate. And this happens, like 9 out of 10 people that come up to you have that many facilities. Now, I think that people are not doing what is required. You know, they're not doing the proper checks before granting loans to customers. And this is going to increase the debt rates. You know, the number of loans that are going to go bad nationally in a number of months is going to be scary. So the challenge is that customers are not educated that, you know, you don't pay a loan with a loan. If you're having issues, capital issues, and you've been funded and those issues continue, you need to sit back. You need to have somebody look into your business, look at why you're having those issues as against going for another loan. Now, when another bank gives you a loan, they're not helping you. They're only increasing, you know, your default, your debt. You're not getting better. So the challenge is, it makes you look like a bad guy when you don't grant loans.
But isn't this the role of the credit bureau?
Well, the role of the credit bureau is to put the information out there. Now, the banks are tasked with ensuring that they work with that information. Not all banks are on the credit bureau. Now, some banks still see that information and still grant further loans to those customers. So they're not utilizing the information as they're supposed to. It's supposed to guide you in making decisions. Aside from the fact that you've independently evaluated this customer, you're also looking at the character of the customer, the capacity. If somebody is constantly in debt, you're looking at it, and because we're seeing that the customer is, you know, has 90 days in arrears. If you're unable to get the reason, you know, a tenable reason why that occurred, you shouldn't give that customer further funding. You shouldn't.
It's a huge part of any business. The people who work for them.
Oh, yes.
And what would you say in terms of your employees? What kind of talents do you have? What kind of competition do they face in the market? And how have they been coping, especially with the world of fintechs and mobile banking in this industry?
Okay. I think first, any staff working with you has to buy into your objective, the goals and the mission of your business. They have to be able to walk along the line of the strategy that guides your business. Now, what we teach our staff is, first and foremost, you have to have product knowledge. You also have to know what is going on in the sector you operate in, because you don't want to go out there and then you're blank. You can't share basic information outside of the information of your own business with the customer. You have to be that go-to person for the customer. We also tell them, I don't compete on pricing. I sell unique products, you know, I tell my staff. And then you also have to ensure that you deliver to your customer. So it's not just about engaging the customer, talking to the customer. Until the customer is satisfied and you get the feedback of satisfaction, you're not done. So those are the major driving factors that our relationship managers work with. Those are the things that they go out there to sell to customers. You must have proper product knowledge. Now, there is nothing wrong with not knowing something. If you don't know it, tell the customer you'll get back to them, but make sure you give that feedback. Feedback is key. Customer satisfaction is key. Those are the things that drive. Now, you talked on competition. Like I said, I try not to do the competitive thing, because when you do that, you lose focus. We look at our strategy, we look at our customers, we work with customer feedback, we work on our products as constantly as possible to ensure that we constantly give what satisfies our customers, product-wise. So competition is not what drives us. Yeah.
To any small business out there looking to either scale up or looking for funding, what would be your advice? What are the tips you can give them? I know loans are not the only sources of funding that people can get, but what are the tips you would, if they were to approach your organization and or a similar organization, what are the tips you would give them?
Okay, first I'd tell them to look inward. It's not everybody that actually requires funding. Not everybody that comes into my office needs the funding. Sometimes all you have to do is restructure. Sometimes all you have to do is realign your expenses. Sometimes what you have to do is look at those things, your current expenses that are not necessary, those things you're investing in that are not actually bringing you profit. Sometimes you need to scale down staff-wise. Sometimes you need to drop some product lines. So you need to look inward. We give that assistance as a bank. Like I said, we render financial advisory. Mm-hmm. So Now, if you've looked inward, you've looked at your boat, and you, there are no funds that are mismanaged, then we look at funding you, but would only give you what is required as bridge financing to bridge that gap. We try as much as possible not to overfund or over leverage any customer, because what would then happen is diversion or misuse of funds.
So what is what are we looking at? What are we projecting for Shalom Merchant Bank in the next? It's a cliche question, but usually 10, 15, 5 years.
Okay, so like I said earlier, Shalom is here to stay, and Shalom is looking to become a national microfinance bank. We want to take, you know, this business, this passion, we want to be able to share with the entirety of our nation, Nigeria. We want to be able to impact us and own as many businesses as sectors as possible. We do borderless banking. We bank everybody as long as you have a need that we can meet.
I'm talking about banking everybody. If I decide to open an account with Shalom, how do we get across to Shalom?
Oh, yes. So you can, we have our numbers on our website. You can reach out to us on our website. You can open an account on our website. You can make a loan request on our website. You can call our numbers on our website. We have the hotlines there, and you can also visit our branch.
And the website is
www.shalommicrofinancebank.com.
All right, thank you very much for coming on the show. We've been speaking with Adeola Jonwaji. She's CEO of Shalom Microfinance Bank, sharing your experience, how it all started, how it's growing, and wanting to make it a national product. I guess somebody would be inspired, whoever's thinking about starting out something like yours. And our crew is always from Nairametrics, Taiwo, and Wadir. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This has been today's edition of Business Half Hour in partnership with Nairametrics.
All right, guys.
Next week.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Social distancing. Wash your hands. Yeah. And don't touch your face.